Mark chapter 1. Now we are going to turn. We did verse number 1 through 13 in our first sermon that we did on Sunday. Now we're going to cover just one verse today. But we'll read from 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Now that's another sermon, but we'll cover just, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this evening, this time to come together, to gather around your word. And Lord, we pray that you'd help our hearts to be attentive to God's word. Help us to show due respect to it. And help us to learn from it. Help us to grow from it. Speak to our hearts, to our souls. Feed our souls what we need. And Lord, that we may grow thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, fishers of men. If you look at this verse, there's two. I break this verse down into two different categories here, so to speak. He says here, "Come ye after me, and I will make you." I will make you. Jesus said, "I will make you to become." So the first thing he tells us, he compels us to do, is come ye after me. That's the first thing that he says, is for us to come after him. I will make you. It is Christ that makes the man. Once he formed him out of the dust of the ground, long ago with Adam, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He formed Adam, and being born again, he must form us or make us what Christ wants us to be. Christ regenerates us and makes us into his image. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, who is the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. God made man in his image after his own likeness. The image was marred by sin and by the fall of man. But Christ came to make man in his own image again. The image of the Son is what pleases the Father. It is the image of the Son. That's the only way. When God sees us, the only way that God is pleased with us is when he sees Jesus. When he sees his blood, when he sees his image. When you are saved, you are given, you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So you are given the robe of righteousness, just like Joseph was given that coat of many colors, just like that prodigal son when he came home was given a robe and a ring on his finger, right? You are given that robe of righteousness. So when God sees you, he sees Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things, right? The image of the Son pleased the Father. Christ says, "I will make you to become." And it is truly God's work. When you split that verse up and you look at it, when you explain it, when you see what he's saying, come ye after me. You must first, how do we come after Christ? We repent and we believe the gospel. That's how we come after him. Come ye after me. Come ye after me. And I will make you to become. Come ye after me. That's what Jesus said, and I will make you to become. So we need not be concerned with the results, but we need to be more concerned with the following of Christ. Because Jesus said for us to come after him, and he would make us to become. So our responsibility is to repent and to believe the gospel. God's responsibility is to work that new life into us. And we are to come after him. We're to deny our flesh. We're to take up our cross. And we're to follow Christ. But it is Christ that makes us to become what we are. It isn't us that does it. It isn't in our own power. But it's Christ that makes us. Come ye after me, and I will make you to become. Jesus said for us to come after him, he will make us profitable. He will make us useful. He will make us what he wants us to be. We cannot make ourselves to become. It is Christ's work. It is his Father's business. Jesus said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And what is the Father's business? But to make you more like the Son. What is the Son's business? That's right. So you would please God in all things. Now, if we don't repent and believe the gospel, i.e., come after him, then we never will be conformed or made to become what God has for us. He says, I will make you to become. It involves something of a painful confirmation. When you take clay and you form it, it's very painful to that clay. Right? You're forming it and you're molding it into what it should be. And that's what Jesus said when he said, come ye after me, and I will make you to become. I will make you. I will form you into what I want you to be. That's a painful process. That's a lifelong confirmation. That's a lifelong sanctification that is worked. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Making us to become involves a painful confirmation. Painful to the flesh. Self-denial is met with self-preservation. And a war in our members takes place. An absolute war in our members takes place. The flesh, the devil, doesn't give up ground very easily. Will not surrender his flag very easily. The flesh doesn't give in very easy. It doesn't walk away. It doesn't give up very easily without a fight. Your own will and your own way doesn't just give up very easily, but it fights. The flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. That's what happens. The flesh and the spirit battle one another. They fight each other. There's a war that takes place. But Christ through the Holy Ghost is that agent that makes us to become. He makes us to become that. Think about that for a minute. Every other religion, every other teaching out there tells you that you have to change you to be a better person. When we listened to that Jonathan Parks series, and we listened to that, was it, his name was Abbas, and Islam told him that he had to conform and he had to say these prayers and he had to do all these things in order to attain some righteousness, in order to be more like what Allah would want him to be. But there was no guarantee, and there was nothing that was said to him, well, how do I know if I'm successful, or how do I know if I'm a failure? There was no absolutes in that. Allah didn't make him to become anything. But Jesus died on the cross for sinners, was buried, and rose again from the dead. And he makes us that are saved, I will make you to become. He will make us to become useful, to become profitable. You know, before I was saved, I wasn't really too good for anybody. I really wasn't that profitable for anybody. Oh, I knew how to make some money, and I knew how to scam people. I knew how to be a liar. I knew how to be a cheat. I knew how to be a fornicator. I knew how to do that. But my life was headed towards a place of absolute destruction. It was headed towards a place of absolute, of a train wreck behind me, or of landmines that I dropped behind me, that if anybody followed hard after them, they would be destroyed. There was a trail of damage that was done through my life at that time. But then when the Lord saved me, when he brought me to a place of repentance and faith, and he saved my soul, he changed me, and he made me to become profitable for his kingdom. He makes it so our lives can be useful to others. That's what he does. He makes us profitable. He makes us profitable to others. I will make you to become. So then, struggling saints, we should take heart. It's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when you see the things of this life, and when you see the trials in this life, don't get discouraged by it. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what God does. That's what God's work is in your life. That's what it is. He said that. Jesus, he didn't only promise us eternal life through his death, burial, and resurrection, but he promised us that new life. And he promised us that he would work that in us. He does that by regenerating us, making us new creatures, giving us life, breathing life into us, but then continually conforming us to his image, making us more like Christ, which is the only thing that can make us profitable. I tried to live the Christian life lost. It didn't work. I was never born again. I was never saved at that time. And I tried to live it, and I just made a train wreck of it. I was making it worse. I was still on a pattern of destruction until the Lord brought me to a place of repentance and faith in Christ, where he showed me my lost condition, and he brought me to repentance and faith. And then he made my life profitable. I will make you to become something. Right? And what is that? What did he promise? I will make you to become fishers of men. The end goal of this confirmation is first the glory of God. John chapter 15, verse number 8. We're going to turn there because John 15, 8 is going to show us that. It's going to show us that the end goal. Why does God do this? Why does Jesus do this? I will make you to become fishers of men. Why? Well, John 15, 8 tells us why. And herein, he says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. That you bear much fruit. It glorifies God. That's why Jesus does it. That's why he does the work that he does. That's why. That's why he conforms us. That's why he makes us. That's why he makes us to become fishers of men. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. the Lord's disciples bear fruit, and that's good fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100, right? They bear good fruit. A good tree brings forth good fruit, and a bad tree brings forth bad, or an evil tree brings forth evil fruit, right? You shall know them by their fruits, right? So Jesus said that his servants are profitable. They're profitable. They're profitable to his kingdom. And his disciples, and especially his God-called men, his generals that he calls, his pastors, those that are, he makes them fruitful. They are fruitful. He makes them to bear much fruit. Because he said that they shall bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So then it's the glory of God. God is in the business of making us fishers of men. It's the catching of men. Luke chapter 5, verse number 10. Well, look at that. What does that mean? Look what Luke 5:10 says. Fishers of men. It says, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Because Peter said to him, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which were they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. By the way, that's the key to profitability as well, to forsake all and to follow him. That was the key. That was another key to their profitableness. Jesus makes them, but they forsake all to follow him. They leave all, they forsake all to follow him. When God saves a man, he brings him that repentance and faith, he makes them to become fishers of men. Men's souls will be your work, your casting of the net. Specifically, when he calls a man to ministry, he will make him to become fishers of men. They will catch men. God will make them to be fruitful and multiply. And souls will be added as a result of them being made fishers of men. God is the one that makes us fishers of men. He's the one. One person contacted me this week and said, I've got a cousin that's LGBTQ and they just came out as that and I need to witness them and I don't know what to say to them. I said, well, just simply tell them what God did in your heart and life. And they said, I'm an introvert. I said, all you have to do is tell them what Jesus did for you. That's all you have to do. The results aren't up to me, right? God, through Christ and the Holy Ghost, makes us the fishers and the catchers of men to snatch them in the gospel net away from the sea of lost men's souls, away from Satan's snare, to take them up and to bring them out of the water and to bring them and make them free. For when the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Right? You take that, what was his name, Gowan pamphlet, that pastor from that old black pastor who was the first Baptist pastor to pastor a church in Williamsburg, right? Back in 1776, he pastored a church there. Right after independence was granted, he pastors a church there. He gets ordained by 20, I'm thinking separate Baptists. But I'll have to find that out. Jeremiah Walker is the one that preached to him. Jeremiah Walker preaches to him, right? He gets saved, right? He gets saved by the grace of God. That slave does. Gets called to preach. Tries to run away. from the calling of God. Amazing story. I'm going to tell it sometime. I'm going to tell it to our church. It was an absolutely amazing story. But anyway, you see that man. God made that slave profitable. He made that brother in Christ, right? Gowan Pamphlet. And you know his last name, Pamphlet, was made after?
Thomas Paine's.
Yeah, Thomas Paine's pamphlet that he had, Common Sense. That's where he took his last name. Isn't that something? You know, Jesus promised us that we would be fishers of men. He promised us that we would be profitable. Now, you and I will never know how profitable we are on this side.
No.
We will know it one day in heaven. We will not know it now. Why? Because all the accounts are not settled. They asked D.L. Moody the same question. They said, well, Mr. Moody, now you go on to receive your reward. And he said, not yet, not until all the accounts are settled.
And he still, because of some of his preaching, still people.
That's right. Just like Spurgeon, just like anybody else, just like anybody.
Yeah.
Their sermons continue on and the truth continues on. Jesus promised this. So then because of this promise, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Because of that promise, then you and I, we don't have to be worried about the results. We don't have to be concerned with counting heads or counting numbers. Right? We are guaranteed by the King that I will make you to become fishers of men. I will make you profitable. That's God's guarantee. Christ guarantees that he will make us to become fishers of men if we will follow him, right? He'll make us profitable. He'll make us fruitful and multiply. So then you and I have to rejoice and be exceedingly glad for the gospel work, because it's Christ that makes the man. And he says to us the same thing when you and I win souls and we tell people about Jesus and we share the gospel with the lost and dying world. He tells us the same thing. Fear not, thou shalt catch men. Why? Because it's the good gospel that does it. That's why. It's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So it's the gospel that God uses to catch those men and to bring them in. But he uses us as a mouthpiece. And like that man that played Gowan today, that he played him, he said, we just need more mouthpieces. We need more mouthpieces. He was so excited that some preacher in Northfield, Minnesota was teaching his church Baptist history.
That black guy?
Yeah. He was so absolutely excited. He's a Baptist pastor. And he understands his history. He's a pastor now, and he understands his history, and he was so absolutely excited that somebody else, you can see the joy of the Lord in him. You can see it, right? And he understood. He hasn't let history turn him into any bitterness or anything. He said this one thing that he said in history and everything else, we always have to put the Lord first.
Yeah.
We always have to tell the truth. And we put the Lord first. You know, and God used that man. And here's this guy that's been, this pastor that's been portraying that black Baptist pastor. He's been portraying him for like 22 years.
Wow.
He's been portraying him there. And it was a blessing to meet him. And he's there, and that man is there. I'm going to tell you, this is what God does, all right? Here's this black Baptist pastor sitting in Colonial Williamsburg, and he sits there with that stick in his hand, and he sits there and he tells the history, and he preaches the gospel to those people. He's getting paid to preach the gospel there. That's how God does it. Let me give you an example of that. You know, he's a lot like the man that he's portraying. You know why? That man watched many men get arrested and go to prison, go to jail, even the men that led him to Christ and the other white Baptist. And he watched them all go to jail, and God put him in the middle of that city, right there on that block with a Baptist church in that city. And he never got arrested. The only time he was ever confined like that, from what that man said today, was when he got saved and God was banging on his heart to preach the gospel, and he tried to get out of there and not preach the gospel. He tried to go somewhere else. He literally tried to go somewhere else, and he was delivering something for his owner. He was a slave, and he was delivering something for his owner, and he had his paper of transport that gave him the right to travel, right? He had it right there, his pass. He had it, and the captain of a slave ship grabbed him, ripped his paper up, and stole him. That's what the Bible talks about, men stealing. That's men stealing. That's a punishable by death. And took him downstairs and was gonna take him off to Jamaica, where he would have died within a year or two, or Bermuda or Jamaica, one of the two. Jamaica, in the sugar cane field, he would have died. No one lived past 2 years over there because it was such a brutal job over there. They killed him. They worked him hard. Well, he was down there, and he prayed, and he said, "Lord, if you free me from this, I will preach the gospel with the rest of my life. I will preach the gospel. I'll do what you called me to do." And his mother was a slave, and she worked in the tavern downtown, which those taverns were food and everything back then, but hotel, everything was called a tavern back then. Well, she was cooking and working in there, and the constable that he grew up as a little boy seeing was on that ship because somebody had there was a report that someone had stolen property on that and took it to that ship, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that constable that knew him his whole life walked up around the deck, walked all the way through, and took a candle. And they, because it was dark, and they put it up to every face of every slave on that ship. And he got to him and he said, "Gowan Pamphlet, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here." He told him what happened. The constable arrested the captain. He arrested the crew. And Gowan went free. He went back and he got ordained. And he preached the gospel. And started the first church there. I just did. And that man was the first Baptist pastor to start a church. That's the first Baptist church here. And it had up to 700 members in it. 610, I think it was. Yep. But God made that man a fisher of men. He made him fruitful. And you would think, when you look at that, right? A slave. You look at that. By the way, Jeremiah Walker, who he explained to me, was the man that got arrested. By the way, it's funny. I talked to those other characters that were there, and they told me about Jeremiah Walker being arrested. And I heard the rest of the story today, that while Jeremiah Walker, that Baptist pastor, was preaching on the street, and by the way, Gowan Pamphlet was a street preacher too, and he went right in that town square and preached right in that town square, right where we were at walking. He preached right in that town square the gospel over there. He said some of the white guys didn't even go in there. The Anglicans and none of them guys would go over there and preach. He preached, because he's a Baptist, of course. He preached it right on the street, right in that town square. Right?
Yeah, back then.
That's what he did.
Wow.
And God used it. God made him fruitful. But Jeremiah Walker preached the gospel. Jeremiah Walker said, we were all made in God's image. And he explained to him how he could be free. And he just didn't understand what he meant by that. And then he explained the gospel to him. And then he got saved, and then he got baptized. And the Lord used him. So anyway, it's an amazing story. And by the way, I didn't know I was going to talk to that man today. I wrote this yesterday. But this sermon to you guys, I wrote this yesterday. But that was kind of the nice finishing touches on that. But there's a man that would catch men. And that's the promise of God. That's what he promised us, that fear not, thou shalt catch men. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men.